Hey everyone, welcome back to our series on the books of the Bible. At the end of last week's video, I said that we were going to look at the book of Deuteronomy this week. And of course, that was wrong because we were on the book of Leviticus. So today we are looking at the book of Numbers. When I start to look at the book of Numbers, of course, we have to ask the question, where did it get its name? Why is it called Numbers? Well, when we start to look at this book, we understand that in this book, we find that there was a census that was being taken. In the first couple of chapters, we see that this is the main focus of this book. God tells Moses, go and take a census of all the people. Get an understanding of how many people there are among the Israelites. So the name Numbers is referring specifically to this census. It's referring to God telling Moses, find out how many people there are. And through chapters 1 and 2, and then also chapter 26, this is exactly what happens. The writer, which is likely Moses, goes through and he names every single one of the tribes or the families that are within the Israelites. And he says how many people are in each of those tribes. And then he finally gives a total of the people of Israel. For the first census that was taken 2 years after they exited Egypt, there were 603,550 Israelites, and those are the men who are capable of going to war. And this doesn't include the doesn't include the Levites, the ones who are supposed to have charge over the temple and over the worship and the sacrifices offered by the Israelites. And for that first census that was taken 2 years after they exited Egypt, there were 22,000 Levites. So there was 625,550 total Israelites there. And then the second one that we find there in chapter 26 that was taken something like 38 years after, it was basically taken after the Israelites were about to be done wandering in the wilderness, right before they were going to inherit the land that God had promised to them. We see that in that second one, there were 601,730 of the normal part of the Israelites, and of the Levites, there were 23,000. So 624,730. So we see that the Israelites have remained fairly constant. But in my opinion, when I have looked at this book in the past and I've seen, oh, Numbers, I have assumed that it is almost entirely Numbers. But in a book that is, I believe, 36 or 37 chapters long, there is a total of about three chapters that deal with the census of the Israelites. The rest of this book is a beautiful book that explains exactly what happened to the Israelites while they wandered in the wilderness. I believe this book, at least in my own mind, has gotten sort of a bad rap where I assume that it is completely just about the numbers of the Israelites, where really it is an amazing book of history. In this book, it kind of straddles the line between the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy, because it kind of plays the game that both of them play. When we talked about Leviticus, we talked about, okay, it is God laying out rules for the Israelites. It's telling them exactly how he wants them to worship, what he wants them to do. And then when we look at the book of Deuteronomy or the book of Exodus, they are books of history. It is basically telling the story of the things that have happened. And the book of Numbers kind of does both of those things. It tells the story of the things that were happening to the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness, but it also gives God telling them exactly what he wanted. God reiterates some of the laws that he had commanded the Israelites in the book of Leviticus, and there are also some extra laws, like exactly what he wanted from the Levites and exactly how he wanted them to operate and how he wanted them to worship him while they wandered in the wilderness. This book is filled with the history of the Israelites, and it has a lot of very important and commonly known stories that we see in it. Some important points, I think, for us to understand is chapter 11, where we see the Israelites murmuring against God. This is basically where they came and they said, look, why did God take us out of Egypt just to kill us in the wilderness because we don't have food? And we see that God ends up punishing the Israelites because of their lack of faith and their lack of gratitude. But we also see that he blesses them. He gives them food and manna, or a bread that is basically called, what is it? Is the what the word manna means. But he fed them with this bread from heaven, and he also fed them with quail as they wandered in the wilderness. And then in chapters 13 and 14, we see that this is the time when the spies go into the land that God has promised. So in the first handful of chapters, we see that the Israelites have exited Egypt, and now they are transitioning to the land that they were supposed to receive. And when they got there, they sent out the 12 spies, and they went in, they looked at the land, and they said, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. It is a beautiful and a lush land, somewhere that is to be desired to live in, but we don't think that we can quite take it. We don't think that we have the power or the ability to be able to overrun these people that are already living there. There were people there that they referred to as giants, powerful, mighty people. But there were two of those 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb, that said, basically, they were the ones that had faith. They said that we are going to be able to take it because God is with us. After this, God places a punishment upon the people. He says, for the next however many years, you are going to wander in the wilderness until this entire generation has died off. Everyone who is standing here, who is of age at this time, that was 625,000 people that we talked about earlier that were in the census, they weren't going to get to see the promised land. God says, you are going to wander in the wilderness, and only Joshua and Caleb would be the ones that would get to enter in to that land. As we move on through the book, we see the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness, and it tells us of the battles and the losses and the victories that they undergo. The times when they are ungrateful and despise God, and also the times when they are faithful before God. It tells of Moses' failure in chapter 20, where Moses strikes the rock instead of speaking to it to get the Israelites water as God had commanded him. And because of that, God tells him that he is not going to be allowed to enter into the promised land, but only get to look at it from a hilltop nearby. He's only going to get to see it instead of to inhabit it. And then finally in chapter 34, we see that God goes through and he divides up the land to the different tribes. It goes in and it tells all the boundaries of the different tribes' land. It says, for example, Gad, you are going to get this land. The nation of Dan, or the area of Dan, is going to have up to this river, to this mountain range, or whatever else it may be. So it tells exactly how God is going to divide up the land that he has promised to his people. So when we look at the book of Numbers, we have to remember that this is the story of everything that happened to the Israelites in between the time that they left Egypt and they entered into the promised land. This fills in that gap, the time of the wandering in the wilderness, the time of Israel's failure. And as I mentioned before, it's kind of gotten a bad rap, and I've overlooked this book, but it is filled with stories that are applicable to our lives, things that we can look at and that show the faith of the Israelites or the lack of faith. It shows the way that God preserves and protects his people, as well as what happens to them when they do not show their faith unto God. So I want to leave us with one final chapter, or one final passage, and this is in Numbers chapter 27. The Israelites, we've just seen that second census in chapter 26, and what we see is they're about to enter into the land that God has promised, and remember, Moses is not allowed to go into that land. He can only view it from afar. So Numbers chapter 27, starting in verse 15. The verses prior, in verse 12, the Lord says to Moses, go up into this mountain of Abram and see the land that I have given the people. When you have seen it, you shall go and be gathered with your people as your brother Aaron was. But as we jump down, start in verse 15, Moses spoke to the Lord saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep who have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and all the congregation, and you shall commission him in their sight. When we start to verse 20, it says, You shall invest him with some of your authority, that all the congregation of the people of Israel may obey. When we start to look at this, we understand that this is the transition period between Moses and Joshua. I love these stories all throughout the Bible that are the kind of the passing of the torch. One man is handing down the charge or the leadership to another. But in this passage, I really love the love that Moses shows to the Israelites. He stops and he speaks to God. He says, I know that my time here is done. I'm going up to the mountain and I'm going to see the land and then I am going to die. Moses' time as the leader of the Israelites is over. But in his final words, we're going to see his actual final words in the book of Deuteronomy. But in this final plea with God, he basically says, give the Israelites someone else to help them. Give them someone to lead them, someone to guide them. And this is where we start to see the leadership of Joshua take place. Joshua, one of those spies that was faithful when they spied out the land, he is now the one who is going to lead the Israelites. Moses says, please give them someone to guide them. Oftentimes we need people to help, to guide, and to look out for us. We understand that in the Bible we have it as our guide. We have it as something that we can look to give us wisdom and insight. But it's also good to have people that we can look to, that we can talk to, and that we are able to trust. We look at the book of Numbers. It is the book of the history of the Israelites in between the time of Egypt and the Promised Land. It's a book that shows God's great might as well as Israel's lack of faith followed by their final faith towards God. It's an important book for us to study to first of all know the history of Israel, but there's also a lot of good analogies and good things that we can look to when our faith maybe is waning, when we have to look to God and realize that He is there for us even when our circumstances may seem dire around us. So hopefully this has given us an idea of the book of Numbers, given us the desire to study it, or at least to look at it in some way, shape, or form. So that is the book of Numbers. Hopefully next week we will actually look at the book of Deuteronomy, and Lord willing, you guys will be able to join us then as well. Thank you all very much.